So we have gathered at the lotus feet of the Panchatattva on this most auspicious occasion of Raghunath Das Goswami's Chiradahi Festival. The background to this incident goes back to the earlier life of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. His uncle and father, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, were very wealthy landlords in Bengal. They were almost like kings, and they had huge palace, opulent palace on the river, with boats that would go on the river. And Raghunath Das was the only son of in the family, the only son between the two brothers. And naturally they put all their hopes in him to carry on the family dynasty. But Raghunath Das, from a very young age, was attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The father and uncle, Hiranya and Govardhan, were very generous and pious. It is said that they practically maintained the whole Brahmin community with their charity. And their family priest was Yadunandan Acharya, who was a disciple of Advaita Acharya of the Panchatattva. And another family friend was Balaramacharya, who was a good friend of Yadunandan Acharya. And another friend was Srila Haridas Thakur. In fact, Haridas Thakur would sometimes stay in the same village as Yadunandan Acharya and Balaramacharya, and they would take care of him, provide for all of his needs. So as a young boy, Raghunath Das had the association of these great souls, associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they used to tell him about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they would encourage him to chant. Sometimes we also, when we meet little children, say, chant Hare Krishna. So he wanted to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but his family would not allow him. So on one occasion, he begged his father and uncle to let him meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said it would be that he wouldn't be able to maintain his life if they didn't let him go. So they let him go. And for 7 days, Raghunath Das stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he didn't say anything about wanting to leave his family, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand his mind and gave him some instructions. And these instructions form the background of the Panihati festival, and I will read them. This is from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 16. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Text 235. Raksake Rahata Muni Kemana Chutiba Kemane Prabhuda Sange Nila Chalayaba. Raghunath Das thought, how shall I be able to get free from the hands of the watchman? Raghunath Das would sometimes try to run away from home to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So his family hired guards to watch 24 hours to make sure he couldn't escape. He would escape and they would catch him and bring him back. Then he would get another opportunity. He would try again. They would catch him and bring him back. And this became a regular affair. So Raghunath Das thought, how shall I be able to get free from the hands of the watchmen? How shall I be able to go with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Neelachal? Neelachal means Jagannath Puri. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient, he could understand Raghunath Das's mind. The Lord therefore instructed him with the following reassuring words. Stirahana gareya nahau vatula krame krame payaloka bhava sindukula. Be patient and return home. Don't be a crazy fellow. By and by, you will be able to cross the ocean of material existence. Markata vairagya nakara loka dekana yata yogya vishaya bunja ana saktahana. You should not make yourself a show bottle devotee and become a false renunciant. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word markata vairagya, indicating false renunciation, is very important in this verse. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in commenting on this word, points out that monkeys make an external show of renunciation by not accepting clothing and by living naked in the forest. In this way, they consider themselves renunciants. But actually, they are very busy enjoying sense gratification with dozens of female monkeys. Such renunciation is called markata vairagya, the renunciation of a monkey. One cannot really become renounced until one becomes disgusted with material activity and sees it as a stumbling block to spiritual advancement. Renunciation should not be phalgu, temporary, but should exist throughout one's life. temporary renunciation or monkey renunciation is the renunciation one feels at a cremation ground. When a man takes a dead body to the crematorium, he sometimes thinks, this is the final end of the body. Why am I working so hard day and night? Such sentiments naturally arise in the mind of any man who goes to a crematorial ghat. However, as soon as he returns from the creation grounds, he again engages in material activity for sense enjoyment. This is called smashan vairagya, or markata vairagya. In order to render service to the Lord, one may accept necessary things. If one lives in this way, he may actually become renounced. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-108, it is said, Yavata syatsa nirvaha satkuryat tavadartavit adikye nyun natayam cha chavate paramarthata. The bare necessities of life must be accepted, but one should not superfluously increase his necessities, nor should they be unnecessarily decreased. One should simply accept what is necessary to help one advance spiritually. In his Durgama Sangamani, Sri Jiva Goswami comments that the word sanirvaha actually means svasva bhakti nirvaha. The experienced devotees will accept only those material things that will help him render service to the Lord. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-256, Markata Vairagya or Phalgu Vairagya is explained as follows. Prapakanchataya Budya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna Mamukshubi Parityago Vairagyam Phalgu Katyate. When a person eager to achieve liberation renounces things related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking them to be material, their renunciation is called incomplete. Whatever is favorable for the rendering of service to the Lord should be accepted and should not be rejected as a material thing. Yukta vairagya, or befitting renunciation, is thus explained. Anasaktasya vishayan yataharam upayunjataha nirbanda krishna sambande yuktam vairagyam uchyate. Things should be accepted for the Lord's service and not for one's personal sense gratification. If one accepts something without attachment and accepts it because it is related to Krishna, one's renunciation is called yukta vairagya. Since Krishna is the absolute truth, whatever is accepted for his service is also the absolute truth. So, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami enumerates 64 items of devotional service, beginning with Ado Gravashraya. One should take shelter of a spiritual master. One should take initiation from him. One should take instruction from him. One should inquire from him. And at the end of the list, he discusses certain items that he has not included in the list, which one might think should have been included or could have been included. And one of the items is the cultivation of vairagya, detachment. Rupa Goswami explains why he has not included it in the list. He said that bhakti by nature makes the heart soft. The actual activities of bhakti, which are primarily hearing and chanting about Krishna and remembering Krishna, make the heart soft. Whereas the cultivation of knowledge by mental speculation and the performance of artificial austerities tend to make the heart hard, which is the exact opposite of bhakti. Then the question arises, well, if we don't cultivate detachment from material things, does it mean we should be attached to them? And of course the answer is no. Then how to resolve this dilemma? We don't want to be attached to material things, but at the same time, we don't want to specifically cultivate detachment from material things. So in answer to this question, Rupa Goswami has composed this very important verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted in the purport. Anasattasya Vishayan. Anasattasya means without being attached. And Vishayan means, say, the objects of the senses. Without being attached, when one engages them in relation to Krishna, in devotional service, nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya uchite, that is considered appropriate renunciation. Srila Prabhupada used to quote the example of a famous monk in India some years ago who was supposed to be so renounced that if anyone offered him money, his hand would shrivel and turn away. Srila Prabhupada said, but if anyone offers us money, we will immediately take it and use it in Krishna's service. And the impersonalists who have no idea of Krishna, of the beauty of Krishna, of the actual identity of the living entity as the eternal servant of Krishna, although they pose as being very renounced, actually they're not. And in contrast to Yukta Vairagya, Rupa Goswami has composed another verse that describes Falgu Vairagya. And Falgu is a river in Bihar which has the peculiar quality of looking like dry land. If you look at it, it looks like sand. But underneath the surface, there's a whole river, a strong current under the surface. So impersonalists who reject the world, who reject material things as maya or illusion, their renunciation is called Falgu because they're like the Falgu River. On the surface they appear to be very renounced, but underneath the surface there's a strong current of material desire. So in the very beginning of Rupa Goswami's definition of bhakti, he raises the question of what makes one eligible for bhakti. What is the adhikar for bhakti? And there he quotes a verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yadrichaya matkatasto. The first thing is one should have attraction and faith, adoshraddha, faith and attraction for his messages. And nanirvina nasastisto. One should not be too attached or too detached. And this might also seem odd, but he explains, the Bhagavatam explains, that if someone is too materially attached, they won't be able to take to bhakti because they're too attached. They'll want to engage in fruitive activities. So they might take to karma or karma yoga. But if one is too averse, if one is too negative, then he will take to jnana, like impersonal speculation. But so to take to bhakti, one shouldn't be too attached or too detached or too averse. One should be in the middle. And that again comes back to the condition of the heart. Because both make the heart hard. Artificial austerities and sense gratification. They both make the heart hard. So, now, what does Lord Chaitanya tell Raghunath Das? Right, he said, don't be a crazy fellow. Don't be a monkey renunciate. Okay, that's what he shouldn't do. Now, what should he do? Antare nistakara baye loka vyavahar achira krishna tamaya karibe udara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, within your heart you should keep yourself very faithful, but externally you may behave like an ordinary man. Thus Krishna will soon be very pleased and deliver you from the clutches of Maya. Vrindavana dekhi arbe asibai nilachale tabe tume ama pasha asiha kona chale. You may see me at Nilachal, Jagannath Puri, when I return after visiting Vrindavan. By that time, you can think of some trick to escape. What kind of means you will have to use at that time will be revealed by Krishna. If one has Krishna's mercy, no one can check him. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to Raghunath Das, who returned home and did exactly what the Lord told him. After returning home, Raghunath Das gave up all craziness and external renunciation and engaged in his household duties without attachment. So, for 1 year, Raghunath Das remained at home. There were some serious legal implications with the family, which he handled very expertly. And by his astute intervention, the family was saved from a very difficult situation with the Mohammedan government, and they were able to continue their activities without difficulty. I actually hadn't thought of this for a long time, but when Tukaram Prabhu introduced me and mentioned my history in Juhu, Bombay, I remembered once, because because I always had this image of Raghunath Das Goswami. I was a new devotee. I really didn't know internally what Raghunath Das Goswami was, but externally I liked the idea of just being a Goswami in Vrindavan, and one night under one tree, another night under another tree. And Srila Prabhupada, I never said anything to him, but he's like, well, he's empowered by the Lord. So like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could read Raghunath Das's mind. So it was the same thing with Prabhupada. I was just sitting in his room in front of him. I didn't say anything. And he looked at me and he said, because he was very concerned, Prabhupada was very concerned about the Juhu project. So he looked at me and he said, first you manage your father's property like Raghunath Das Goswami. Then you go to Vrindavan and be a Goswami. So, finally, even though Raghunath Das was always being watched by guards, he got the idea. He heard that Nityananda Prabhu had come nearby to Panihati. So he thought, okay, let me meet Nityananda Prabhu. Let the guards come with me. At least let me see Nityananda Prabhu. So, in this way, this is, by the way, Antya Leela, Chapter 6, Lord Chaitanya meets Raghunath Das Goswami, text 35. In this way, Raghunath Das passed 1 year exactly like a first-class business manager. But the next year, he again decided to leave home. He got up alone one night and left, but his father caught him in a distant place and brought him back. This became almost a daily affair. Raghunath Das would run away from home, and his father would bring him back. Then Raghunath Das's mother spoke to his father as follows. Our son has become mad, she said. Just keep him by binding him with ropes. His father, being very unhappy, replied to her as follows. Raghunath Das, our son, has opulence like Indra, the heavenly king. And his wife is as beautiful as an angel. Yet all this could not tie down his mind. How then could we keep this boy home by binding him with ropes? It is not possible, even for one's father, to nullify the reactions of one's past activities. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has fully bestowed his mercy on him. Who can keep home such a madman of Chaitanya Chandra? Sometimes the parents of Prabhupada's disciples also thought they had become mad. Like, once these two brothers, Bruce and Greg Sharp, they joined, and their mother came to Srila Prabhupada and complained that her boys had become crazy. And Prabhupada spoke to her, and then he went and gave a class, Who is Crazy? And he said, what is the definition of a crazy person? A crazy person is someone who doesn't know who he is. Like, if I think I'm Napoleon Bonaparte or Theodore Roosevelt or Mahatma Gandhi. That means I'm crazy. I don't know who I am. So Prabhupada said, anyone who thinks he's the body is crazy. He doesn't know who he is. So who's crazy? Are these boys crazy? Are these devotees crazy? Or are you all crazy? Then Raghunath Das considered something in his mind, and the next day he went to Nityananda Gosani. In the village of Panihati, Raghunath Das obtained an interview with Nityananda Prabhu, who was accompanied by many kirtan performers, servants, and others. Sitting on a rock under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Nityananda seemed as effulgent as hundreds of thousands of rising suns. Narottam Das Thakur says, Koti Chandra Sushitala, that his lotus feet are as cooling as thousands, hundreds of thousands of moons. And here he's described as effulgent as hundreds of thousands of rising suns. Many devotees sat on the ground surrounding him. Seeing the influence of Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das was astonished. Raghunath Das offered his obeisances by falling prostrate at a distant place, and the servant of Nityananda Prabhu pointed out, there's Raghunath Das, offering you obeisances. Hearing this, Nityananda Prabhu said, you are a thief. Now you have come to see me. Come here, come here. Today I will punish you. Because he was offering obeisances from a distance. So, of course, he was doing it out of humility, but Nityananda Prabhu took it that he's remaining in the shadows on the outskirts like a thief. The Lord called him, but Raghunath Das did not go near the Lord. Then the Lord forcibly caught him and placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head. Raghunath Das was a young, he was only about, at most, 22 years old then. A very young man. Lord Nityananda was by nature very merciful and funny. Being merciful, he spoke to Raghunath Das as follows. You are just like a thief, for instead of coming near, you stay away at a distant place. Now that I have captured you, I shall punish you. Make a festival and feed all my associates yogurt and chipped rice. Hearing this, Raghunath Das was greatly pleased. Now this is a very humorous request. Because Raghunath Das, he was like, you know, the son of kings. And chipped rice is like the most simple food. You know, it would be as if, well, I'm probably a few decades old here, but it would be as if, you know, Mr. Rockefeller came and said, you know, I want to do some service for the temple. And Tukaram Prabhu said, You can distribute puffed rice to all the people who come to the temple. It's like a joke. Of course, that's not a good example because I don't think Mr. Rockefeller would come and make that offer, and I don't think Tukaram Prabhu would ask for puffed rice either if he did make the offer. But this was very humorous. This was just picture it. You know, he's living in, you know, unlimited opulence, like Indra, the king of heaven. And Nityananda Prabhu says, okay, I'm going to punish you. You have to serve flat rice and yogurt to all of my associates. Raghunath Das immediately sent his own men back to the village to purchase all kinds of edibles and bring them back. Raghunath Das brought chipped rice, yogurt, milk, sweetmeats, sugar, bananas, and other edibles and placed them all around. As soon as they heard a festival was going to be held, all kinds of Brahmins and other gentlemen began to arrive. Just like here. You heard there was a festival, so you arrived. Thus there were innumerable people. Seeing the crowd increasing, Raghunath Das arranged to get more edibles from other villages. He also brought 200 to 400 large round earthen pots. He also obtained 5 or 7 especially large earthen pots, and in these pots a Brahmin began soaking chipped rice for the satisfaction of Lord Nityananda. In one place, chipped rice was soaked in hot milk in each of the large pots. Then half of the rice was mixed with yogurt, sugar, and bananas. The other half was milked with condensed milk and a special type of banana known as champakala. Then sugar, clarified butter, and camphor were added. After Nityananda Prabhu had changed his cloth for a new one and sat on a raised platform, the Brahmin brought before him the 7 huge pots. On that platform, all the most important associates of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, as well as other important men, sat down in a circle around the Lord. And then the author enumerates various great associates of Nityananda Prabhu. As you probably know, Nityananda Prabhu is the incarnation of Balaram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And Balaram is always accompanied by his cowherd boyfriends. So many of Balaram's cowherd boyfriends in Krishna Lila, they descended on earth at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And they took birth mainly in Brahmin families, and they became, a number of them, they became associates of Nityananda Prabhu. And one of them actually has a connection with Srila Prabhupada's family, Udaran Dutta Thakur. Hearing about the festival, all kinds of learned scholars, Brahmins, and priests went there. Lord Nityananda Prabhu honored them and made them sit on the raised platform with him. Everyone was offered 2 earthen pots. In one was put chipped rice with condensed milk, and in the other chipped rice with yogurt. All the other people sat in groups around the platform. No one could count how many people there were. So each was supplied 2 pots, and Raghunath Das kept buying more milk and yogurt, more bananas and other fruits, more chipped rice. And not only did the Brahmins come to know about the festival and come to participate, but the merchants came to sell their goods. And Raghunath Das would buy their chipped rice and milk and yogurt, and then he would feed them with the same chipped rice and milk and yogurt. So there was a huge multitude of people, and eventually all the space on the ground was occupied. There was no more place to sit. So people started to stand on the banks of the Ganges. And eventually, all the space on the banks of the Ganges got filled with people. So people started to stand in the water of the Ganges and eat their chipped rice and milk and yogurt. So it's a very nice description, but we don't have time to read it all or describe it all. But one interesting incident took place towards the end, and that is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came invisibly to see this, the fun. And so he and Nityananda Prabhu went around amidst all the devotees, and Nityananda Prabhu would take a morsel of rice from each of the pots and put it in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mouth. But nobody, except for a few special fortunate souls, could understand what was happening. So another great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu is Raghava Pandit. And his house is just in Panihati, just near where this festival took place. And he invited Nityananda Prabhu to come to his house for a feast. So Nityananda Prabhu said that we're busy now. We're having a picnic. I and my friends are like cowherd boys, and we like to have picnics by the bank of the river. But in the evening, we'll come to your house and eat the opulent feast that you prepared. And that evening, as promised, he came to Raghava Pandit's house. There was Sankirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came. And then there was a big feast. So the next morning, it was time for Raghunath Das to go home. And because he was so humble, he didn't approach Nityananda Prabhu directly, but he submitted his appeal through Raghava Pandit. Text 126. In the morning, after his taking his bath in the Ganges, Nityananda Prabhu sat down with his associates beneath the same tree under which he had previously sat. Raghunath Das went there and worshipped Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. Through Raghava Pandit, he submitted his desire. Adama paramamui hina jiva dama more ichahaya pana chaitanya charana. I am the lowest of men, the most sinful, fallen, and condemned. Nevertheless, I desire to attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vamanahana yena chada daribare chaya aneka yatna kainu tate kabu siddhanaya. I am like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon. I've tried my best many times, but I've never been successful. Every time I tried to go away and give up my home relationships, my father and mother unfortunately kept me bound. No one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy. But if you are merciful, even the lowest of men can attain shelter at his lotus feet. Although I am unfit and greatly afraid to submit this plea, I nevertheless request you, sir, to be especially merciful toward me by granting me shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is an important principle, that without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, no one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu agreed. He placed his lotus feet on Raghunath Das's head. He praised the opulence of Raghunath Das, that although he has so much material opulence, like Indra, the king of heaven, he has no attachment for it at all. And he said, my dear Raghunath Das, Since you arranged the feast on the bank of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here just to show you his mercy. By his causeless mercy, he ate the chipped rice and milk. Then, after seeing the dancing of the devotees at night, he took his supper. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaurahari, came here personally to deliver you. Now rest assured that all the impediments meant for your bondage are gone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept you and place you under the charge of his secretary, Swarup Damodar. You will thus become one of the most confidential internal servants and will attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being assured of this, return to your own home. Very soon, without impediments, you will attain shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Raghunath Das arranged for gold coins to be left in the care of Raghava Pandit to be distributed to the Vaishnavas, Nityananda Prabhu and his associates and others, different amounts to different categories. But he told Raghava Pandit not to distribute the gold coins until Raghunath Das had left. He didn't want to be there to get any credit for it. So Raghunath Das went home, and he no longer slept inside the palace, but he would sleep in the Durga Mandap, outside of the house. And then one evening it happened, as Nityananda Prabhu had predicted, that Raghunath Das got an opportunity to escape. The family priest, Raghunath Das's guru, Yadunandan Acharya, came one night and said that one of the other disciples who was supposed to worship the deity did not come to do the worship. He declined to do the worship. So he requested Raghunath Das to accompany him to convince the pujari to do the seva. So it was late at night. Most of the guards were sleeping anyway, and Yadunandan Acharya was a trusted member of the household. He was the family priest of the Mazumdars. So Raghunath Das left with Yadunandan Acharya. After walking some distance, he told Yadunandan Acharya, "Guru Maharaj, there's no need for you to accompany me. It's late. You can go to your place and take rest. And be assured, I will meet the disciple and I will convince him to take up his service." So Yadunandan Acharya went to his place. Raghunath Das met the disciple and convinced him to take up the service of the deities. And then he left for Neelachal. And because he knew that his family would send out people to find him, so he took the inner route and he walked for 12 days. It was a long distance. He walked. And his mind was just fixed on the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On most of the days he didn't eat anything, but because he was fixed in his determination, he didn't mind. And eventually he attained the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nityananda Prabhu had predicted. So this gives us a clue as to how we can become free from material attachments. All the scriptures say that to achieve Krishna, to achieve love for Krishna, one should be free from material attachments. But cultivating detachment is not the process. So what is the process? The process is service. Specifically, service that will please Nityananda Prabhu. Because if we please Nityananda Prabhu, by his mercy, we will gain detachment from material things. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that we will have to leave home like Raghunath Das did. He's a different example. He's one kind of example. But there are other examples among Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates who did not leave home. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not ask them to leave home. In fact, in some cases, he instructed them to remain at home. And this is another mystery. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada asked his Guru Maharaj this very question. Although Srila Prabhupada didn't have so much personal association with his Guru Maharaj, and sometimes he said he only asked one question, how can I serve you? But he did mention that he asked another question, posed another question, and that is that Rupa Goswami or Raghunath Das Goswami, they were very renounced, but they were very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Ramananda Rai, he was also very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was living in royal opulence. So how can we understand this? Bhoga and Tyaga. Bhoga means enjoyment. It seems that Ramananda Rai was an example of Bhoga and Rupa Goswami was an example of Tyaga, renunciation. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a very wonderful answer. He gave the example of a wife. This is in the traditional culture. That when the husband leaves home, the wife dresses very simply. She'll sleep on the floor. She won't eat nice food. She'll live very simply. But the same woman, when her husband comes home, she'll take a nice bath, apply oil on her body, dress very nicely, put on ornaments to please her husband. Actually, both are to please her husband. Living in very austerely when he's away, living very simply. In that culture, it was what a chaste woman did when her husband was away. And of course, the background to everything in Vedic culture is Krishna consciousness. Without Krishna consciousness, it sounds very hard and cruel and mean. But it just meant that when her husband was away, she would live very simply and focus on God, because her husband was gone. But when he would come home, you know, she would bathe and dress very nicely and serve him in that kind of happy mood. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that whether she's living very simply, as when her husband is away, or dressing very nicely, as when her husband comes home, the purpose is the same, to please her husband. And in bhakti, what the devotee's goal is only one, to please Krishna. So if by being renounced he can please Krishna, then he'll be renounced, as in the case of Rupa Goswami. That was his service. Or he can live in great opulence like Ramananda Roy. That was his service. And both pleased Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when I talk about becoming free from material attachment, because I saw some concerned looks on the faces of some of the audience, it doesn't mean that, you know, the son is going to leave the parents, or the husband's going to leave the wife, or the wife's going to leave the husband. It just means that one will become free from material bondage. And according to one's situation, according to what pleases the Lord, according to one's status in life, one can remain in one's position. When Ramananda Roy was discussing with Lord Chaitanya what is the perfection of life, what is sadhya, Ramananda Roy gave the answer. The first answer that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully accepted was stane sita shuti gatim tanavan manobir. It's a verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which basically says that you should give up the process of mental speculation and just become submissive. You can remain in your position. Stanechita means remain in your position. If you're a grihastha, you can remain a grihastha. If you're whatever you are, you can remain in your position. But hear the messages of Krishna from the mouths of pure devotees. That's the real principle of devotional service that was accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can remain in your position. Many of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate associates were householders. Even in the Panchatattva, Advaitacharya was the ideal householder. So, but at a certain stage, it may be favorable for someone to actually leave the family. And either way, it is by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Whether one is in the family or not, that doesn't really matter. But what really matters is increasing our attachment for Krishna. Being detached from Maya really comes when one is attached to Krishna. But at the same time, if we're preoccupied with Maya, it'll be hard to develop our attachment to Krishna. So we have to make efforts to simplify our lives. Otherwise, they'll be like too complicated. We'll have too many things on our mind to really chant and hear properly. And that's the main process, as we all know. Harinama, Harinama, Harinami, the Kevalam. But the way to chant properly to get the full benefit is to chant with attention. Now, if our mind is wandering, we're chanting, but we're not really getting the benefit. That's an offense, actually, dhammaparad, to be inattentive while chanting. And it's said that all the other offenses follow from inattention. And on the other hand, if one chants with attention, if one actually hears, then the other offenses will be destroyed. So it's very important to chant with attention. But if we're too preoccupied with Maya, then we're chanting with our beads, but our minds are thinking how much money we have in the bank. Do we have enough to pay the bills? Or whatever. So we want to keep our life simple. It's hard in Kali Yuga, but as simple as possible. And that time when we chant, that should be our time with Krishna, our time with the holy name. We shouldn't be thinking about other things. We can do that, we have to do that, but not when we're chanting and hearing about Krishna. And the other thing that pleases Krishna is when we preach. And this is very important, because we know from the end of the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says that of all servants, he who preaches the message of the Bhagavad Gita is the most dear to me. There will never be one as dear to me as he. You know, there's no one as dear to me as he, nor will there ever be. And in the end, it is guaranteed that he will come to me. He will go back home, back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada, he sort of paraphrased many of the principles that we've discussed in a class he gave in Los Angeles. He said that in order to approach Radha and Krishna, one must get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in order to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And in order to get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one must approach people like Jagai and Madhai. Jagai and Madhai, you probably know, but they were very sinful, fallen souls. And Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur approached them, requested them to chant the holy names. And they were so fallen that they began to blaspheme Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. And eventually one of them threw a pot at Nityananda Prabhu and hit him on the forehead, and blood started to come. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about it, he came to the spot. He was ready to kill Jagai and Madhai. But Nityananda Prabhu intervened. He said, "My Lord, this is Kali Yuga. In previous ages, you would kill the demons, but in Kali Yuga, you can't kill the demons. If you kill people like Jagai and Madhai, in Kali Yuga, you'll have to kill everyone, because everyone will be like Jagai and Madhai, eating meat, drinking wine, and so on." So he said, "In Kali Yuga, we don't kill them physically, we just kill their demonic mentality." So when Jagai and Madhai, well, first they were under the threat of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sudarshan Chakra, so they were, that was on the one side, and then on the other side was Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. So they chose Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. And they surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they took up the chanting of the holy name. They gave up their sinful activities. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never again referred to their past. So Srila Prabhupada said, to get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, we have to approach people like Jagai and Madhai. That means the people on the street, people everywhere. It means we have to approach the people. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, that, you know, instruct people to, you know, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Bolo Krishna Sika, to chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, and follow Krishna's instructions. Very simple. Srila Prabhupada also quoted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Amara gai guru hai tare desh, yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh." Wherever you go, whomever you meet, you just repeat the message of Krishna. And in this way you become guru and you deliver the people around you. So it's not very difficult. You just repeat. Krishna says, surrender to me. The guru says, surrender to Krishna. The guru doesn't say, surrender to me. He says, surrender to Krishna. So it's very easy. Srila Prabhupada had a disciple named Shamsundar. Well, there were a couple of Shamsundar and Malati, and they had a little girl named Saraswati. She was just maybe 3 years old, 4 or 5. So she would approach people. We had an apartment on Warden Road, a very prestigious location in Bombay. So all these respectable gentlemen would come, and she would approach them and say, do you know who is Krishna? And then she'd say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada says, she's preaching. That what she's doing is perfect. She's just repeating. So just repeat. Anyone can do it. We don't have to be very intellectual and imaginative and creative. We just repeat. And in that way, we get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu through Srila Prabhupada. For us, Srila Prabhupada is the representative of Nityananda Prabhu. So everything that we've said about getting the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu can be achieved by getting the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who's taken up the mission of the Panchatattva, Gaur Nithai. So that's part of the duty of the spiritual master, that he engages the disciples in such a way that they get the mercy of the Lord. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did with us through ISKCON. He created ISKCON in such a way that by preaching, by holding festivals like we're having here, and we have here every Sunday and on special occasions, by preaching, we get the mercy of the Lord. But to have the potency to preach, we have to practice. And the essential practices are chanting 16 rounds with attention, not like one devotee commented, devotees have become very expert with their left hands, because that way with their right hands they can have their right hand in the bead bag, and with their left hand they can dust the house. They can even type on the keys in the computer with their left hand. It's like they become very expert with their left hand. So not like that, but 16 good rounds, as good as possible, with attention, and follow the four principles and work to spread the Sankirtan movement. And that's all we have to do. That's literally, of course it's not such a small thing, but it's all we have to do. 16 good rounds, follow the regulative principles, and work to our capacity to spread the Sankirtan movement. And Srila Prabhupada said if we do that, he will guarantee that we will go back home, back to Godhead. And that means ultimately attain the service of Radha and Krishna. So he's given us everything. We just have to take it. It's so simple. We just have to take it. Sometimes Prabhupada used to quote, there was a cartoon in a magazine, and an old man was sitting across from an old woman, and the wife was telling the husband, chant, chant, chant. And the husband would say, can't, can't, can't. That is our misfortune in Kali Yuga. That with the same effort that it takes to refuse to chant, we could chant. That is our misfortune. But still, devotees are tirelessly working, ceaselessly endeavoring to encourage people. It's difficult. Prabhupada said it's a, that's who is crazy. It's like people are mad. It's hard. We're like, well, the example he gave, it's like being a psychiatrist in a madhouse. It's very hard to make a crazy person sane. You can see, I mean, it's, I'm very happy with the audience here, but it's just a small group, you know. Most people are out enjoying, trying to enjoy what they call enjoyment. But because it is hard, the mercy one gets for making the effort is even greater. And therefore we should do our best. So, this was a wonderful opportunity Tukaram Prabhu afforded us, and now we get to hear from His Holiness Indradumi Swami, who really gets the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he really does go out on the streets and chants the holy names and dances and holds festivals and speaks Krishna Katha. And now we will hear from you.
Giridhar Maharaj Ki.
I'd just like everyone to stand up for a moment. Put your hands up in the air and jump up and down three times. And repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare
Hare.
Now try to touch the ceiling. Okay. One more time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama. Hare Rama. Rama
Rama.
Hare
Hare.
Take a very deep breath. Hold it. Okay, let it go. Please sit down. It is a fact that I invited myself here, which is very inappropriate. But I can tell you why I did that. It wasn't to promote myself. That's very unbecoming for a Vaishnava, but I did that with the intention of hearing His Holiness Giridhar Swami Maharaj speak. So please thank me for that. And I will not use the old adage, a hard act to follow. I won't say that. That's corny. I also won't use the old saying, the crow and the swan. I won't say that, but it will become revealed very quickly. And I will speak briefly, because I know you're all very eager for that chipped rice. Of course, when I was hearing Maharaj speak, I was thinking, this is the prasad. I was thinking, with prasad, although Prabhupada said it's our secret weapon, you really can only eat so much. It doesn't take long to as Prabhupada said, up to the neck, to fill yourself up to the neck. If you timed it, it would probably take 15 minutes. But the type of prasad that we were just spoon-fed so eloquently, so scholarly and so devotionally, that prasad, we can go on hearing unlimitedly. That's why if you look into my iPod, Sometimes as I travel, my disciples are there, and I grab that little white cord, the iPod, the tradition, I put it in my ear, and their faces turn red. Because you hear all kinds of things. But if you listen to my iPod, you'll find that most of my, what do they call that? You create that playlist. Most of my playlists are Giriraj Maharaj or Vadanath Swami, bhajans of Bibi Govinda Maharaj, like that. So I was really sad when it was all over, and I had to come here and say something. But Om Abhyan Timurandasya Ginam Gina Shulakaya Chaksurimilitam Janatasmai Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Shvavadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Govar Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha Maharaj, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj spoke so nicely about Sri Raghunath Das Goswami that I feel there's very little that I can add. At best, I can only pick up some crumbs of His mercy to have fallen on the floor and offer them back to you again. Our acharyas have stated that this particular pastime which we are discussing and we are observing and participating in today, it marks the beginning. If you were listening carefully, you could understand. It marks the beginning of Raghunath Das Goswami's renunciation. Later on, because Maharaj said time was limited, I wished he could have gone on, but especially when Raghunath Das Goswami went to Jagannath Puri and was placed under the care of Sri Damodar Goswami by Mahaprabhu himself, his renunciation became very great. In fact, his renunciation for the purpose, as Maharaj is pointing out, of being able to becoming detached so as to become attached to Krishna, Krishna's devotional service. His renunciation was so astounding that later on the Lord Himself glorified the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami. He said, Ananta guna Raghunathera ke karibi lekha Raghunathera niyama yena pashanera reka. A very famous verse. Who could list the unlimited transcendental attributes of Raghunath Das? His strict regulative principles were exactly like lines on a stone. Now, Srila Prabhupada has commented on that particular verse in his purport. And he's also stated elsewhere in his preaching that just as lines of a stone cannot be erased, you can pick up a stone, there's different lines. You can't erase those stones. So the strict regulative principles that were observed by Raghunath Das Goswami could not be changed under any circumstances. It's not that sometimes he followed them and sometimes he didn't, or even that he compromised in any way in following the strict regulative principles that he observed as an acharya teaching us. This is actually very significant. Such regulative principles as were followed very strictly by Raghunath Das Goswami, they're called pratas. They're called vows. And all of us know the meaning of taking a vow. I assume that everyone here is initiated or aspiring for initiation, and we all know the sobriety that is there in taking a vow before the Lord's representative. It's a very deep commitment. I know as an initiating spiritual master in this movement, when I performed the Harinam initiation, so many times disciples, they may be very good devotees and very even eloquent speakers, and good memories. When they come at the time of initiation, they sometimes, out of nervousness, they forget the one or two or three of the regulative principles. Because momentous moment. Guru Maharaj, I promise. I have to remind them, no meeting. Because it's a momentous moment when one makes that commitment. It's like stepping over the line, like at the Alamo, for want of a better example. War between America and Mexico. And then the Americans were there in the Alamo and they were attacked by the Mexicans. And at one point, the Mexican army, the general, he said, well, I'll give whoever wants to leave, it was a code of honor, whoever wants to leave, I give you 24 hours to leave. And then the battle will begin. It was a code of honor in warfare. So it was either Davy Crockett or Daniel Boone. I think it was Davy. He drew a line. He said, anyone who wants to go, step across the line. And those of you who want to stay, you stay here. So some faint-hearted men, they stepped over the line. But those who were courageous, they stayed. Well, this is where we draw the line between who is sincere and who is not yet sincere. We won't say unsincere, because anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness has a certain sincerity, but not yet fully surrendered. This is the demarcation. This is the line that you can come before Guru Maharaj and say, Guru Maharaj, I promise, my vrat is that from this day forward, I shall not eat meat, fish, or eggs, take intoxication, to sex again. And I shall, on the positive side, I promise I shall chant 16 rounds a day. Well, we've all been to many initiation ceremonies. We've discussed this many times. But it's very deep. Something very significant to take a vow. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he took so many vows and he never compromised an iota. And therefore he's our acharya. Acharya means one who teaches by example. Without that vow, you cannot become detached from material life. Without becoming detached from material life, you cannot become attached to the Lord. Prabhupada said one time that real bhakti begins when we're fully detached from sex desire. So to help us, we follow the regulative principle. The desire may still be there, but by remaining aloof from that activity and chanting, heart becomes purified. Vrata, fixed like the lines on a stone. This was Raghunath Das Goswami. Yesterday I was discussing with my dear friend, eternal friend, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, that I was telling him of my idea, I'd like to take a vrat in Kartik. And you're not supposed to, if you take a vrata in Kartik, you're not supposed to share it with anyone. Because it may manifest as pride and you'll lose all the benefits that you get from that vrata. But as a spiritual master meant to instruct one's disciples, then sometimes you have to speak these things. So I was telling Maharaj in confidence, it's no longer confidential, at the table, I said, I've been doing parikrama with the devotees maybe 6 or 7 years in Vrindavan. The month of Kartik, we go and we travel to Yavat and Nandagram and Varshana and Govardhan and the seven temples. I said, this year I feel the need to go to be maybe do a solitary bhajan, go a little bit deeper so that I can give more to my disciples. So I said, I said, Maharaj, what do you think if I took a vrata to chant 64 rounds a day for 1 month? And I said, this would entail living very simply, eating once a day. I didn't say it, but in my mind I was fantasizing. You know, they put the khichdi on the floor and you put your arms behind your back and you bend down as much as you can eat at that one bending down, that's your facade for the day. No shaving, sleeping little, and God forbid, no email. I was thinking this, Brat. So Maharaj, I was thinking he was going to say, go for it, Maharaj, yeah, do it. Because he wouldn't speak like that. But, yes, but he was very serious. He said, let me think about it for a minute. So he thought, and then he said, how many times in your life have you chanted 64 rounds? I tried to dredge my memory. I remember 72, I think I did it in John Monastery. I said, yesterday, Pandavanirjala Akadasi, I chanted 64 rounds. I remember the last four rounds at 11 o'clock at night. So he reflected a little longer. He said, a vow is a very serious thing. It's never to be broken. He said, better you take a sankalpa. I said, what is sankalpa? He said, sankalpa means an intention. In other words, by taking a sankalpa, one is saying, my intention is to chant 64 rounds. In this way, if you don't do it, you can't be held accountable. One is held accountable if he breaks a vow. This is why we give the disciples a good year, 2 years, you know, Satchinandan Swami, he doesn't initiate anyone before 5 years. He's a very attractive, charismatic, spiritually advanced person. Many people want to be his disciples when they hear, you have to wait 5 years, and the list goes down. So a vow is something very serious, a vrat. It's not to be changed. It's like line in stone. You can't change the line in the stone. So in the heart of the sincere sadhaka, he takes a vow. He's determined, I shall not break this vow. This is Raghunath Das Goswami. One time a disciple said to Śrīla Prabhupāda, almost nonchalantly, Śrīla Prabhupāda, you know, I just can't follow all the four rules anymore. What can I do? You know, I mean, I'm trying. Prabhupāda, he said, but you promised. No, but I just can't do it. No, but you already promised. But I can't, but you promised. I think even in the material world, which is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, there's still some code of honor to some degree. There was a song, don't make promises you can't keep. So that should be especially true in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, where the real potency of this movement is in purity. Prabhupada gave kind of a mission statement. Of course, we don't think of it like that in those days, but it seemed like that. That preaching is the essence. This movement. Preaching is the essence. This is a missionary movement. If it stops being missionary, it'll dry up. Bhaktisananda Saraswati said, one who has light, he'll preach. This is a missionary movement. And preaching is the essence. Utility is the principle. Books are the basis. But what is the thing that keeps it all going? Purity is the force. So if we claim ourselves to be a member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we should not think of that in a light way. It is something very, very special. It is a great privilege. And to be a real member, we must be very strict in our vows. If not, we can be an honorary member and aspiring to be a member. But once we take the vrat, we should be a member in good standing. This is one example we can learn from the life of Raghunath Das Goswami. Taking a vow may not be easy, but it's necessary. Nothing great in this world was ever achieved without discipline. Cheap thrills, they come and they go. But if you want something genuine, you can't achieve it without discipline. Like if you want a diploma in school. You know, I barely got a diploma. I don't know, they just gave it out of goodwill or something. Because I was always at the beach. I know all these surfing spots along this coast like I know the back of my hand. That's why when I drive down Highway 1, I don't look to the right. Very dangerous, we say in Hindi. Very danger. In Hindi, it's mixed with English either. Very danger, Maharaj. There was one snake. One man said, very danger. To get a diploma in school, you have to be very serious. You have to study. You have to do your homework. And you have to make sacrifice. You have to be disciplined. To be successful in a career, many of you are successful. But because you're very focused, you're very disciplined. Athletics, what's the difference between the gold medal and the silver? It may only be a fraction of a second, but the person who gets that gold medal, you study his life. Very disciplined. That's life. So what's the highest goal of life? They have their speculation, but we know that Padamgati is Krishna consciousness. So it requires discipline, and that discipline manifests in the form of vows. The very word disciple comes from the word discipline. Prabhupada says the first principle of love is obedience. But at the same time, we shouldn't be afraid to accept the vows and devotional service. Because, as Chanakapanda says, you can't give up something unless you get something better. And this is the added advantage of, but we're not just renouncing the world, as Maharaj was saying, that's one extreme. We're renouncing it, and by renouncing it, we get what? We get kripa, we get mercy. There's so much to be gained. And we know that. Because we see in the lives of great devotees, even amongst us, I was telling Maharaj, there's so many great souls in this movement. We have our saints, we have our official saint, Jayananda Prabhu, and we have so many other saints as well. I'll say it openly. Great souls who've dedicated everything, and some have even left this world, and Maharaj was saying yesterday, he was naming two, he said, I'm very confident that His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami and Sridhar Maharaj have gone back to Godhead. I agree. So we can see the result. Palina Parichate. You renounce and you engage in devotional service, something's to be gained. So therefore we're not hesitant. Oh, it's scary. No, we do it because we see there's something tangible to be gained. And Raghunath Das Goswami has made it very clear what you'll gain if you're strict like lines in a stone. He says, Goro Goshte Goshtalayishu Janabushara Gne. Svamantre Srinamni Brajanava Yuva Dvanda Shanane. These words just roll off the lips of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the strict followers of Raghunath Das Goswami. He said, if you engage in this process of Krishna consciousness, you'll get something very nice, very wonderful. What is that? Intense and extraordinary love for the spiritual master. Outside of Krishna consciousness, you're not going to find genuine love. But everyone's looking for love. This is the essence. The intrinsic nature of water is that it's wet. The intrinsic nature of salt, it's salty. The intrinsic nature of sugar, it's sweet. The intrinsic nature of the soul, he wants to love and he wants to be loved. In this world, only the reflection, like the apple in the pond, it looks so real on a clear, windless day. You look at the apple, the animal's looking, and he jumps. What do you get? Just a mouthful of water. You don't get that. But if you look in the tree, there's the real apple. So love is not to be found in this world. A reflection, the closest thing, Prabhupada said, is the love of a mother for its child, because it's almost selfless. Selfless love is to be found in Krishna consciousness. Anubilasita sunyam, jnana karma narvitam, anukalena krishna, shilanam bhakti uttama. That kind of love, selfless love for Radha and Krishna. So you renounce, oh, but what will you get? Intense and extraordinary love for the spiritual master, for Brajabhumi, Brajmandala, Vrindavan Dham. Just to say the name, so many faces are lighting up because you've been there. You know something extraordinary. What is this Vrindavan? Then he says, the people of Vrindavan, you get love for the Brajbasis, for the Vaishnavas, for the Brahmanas. You get love for Gayatri Mantra. You get some taste, you get some ruchi, you get some love for the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
And last but not least, you get love for the transcendental shelter that is the youthful couple of Braj, Shishi Vacham Sundar, or Radha Madhava, Radha Kunja Kishore. You all have your favorite deities. But again, because it's the Panam Gati, it takes great sacrifice. Sacrifice of what? Well, in the minds of some people it's great, and in the minds of others it's just like pebbles of stone, like to renounce them. What do we have to renounce? Sense gratification. So essentially we take our vows at the moment of initiation, we're marking those lines in the stone, never to be changed. No more sense gratification, Guru. That's a big sacrifice. In Mahabharata, we read how Devadatta took one vow that he would never marry. He told his father. It's a long story, but he vowed never to marry. He abdicated the throne so that his father could marry the daughter of the sage, and so that her eventual son could become the king, because the sage didn't want to give his daughter unless her son became the next king. So Devadatta, he said, so yes, don't worry, I won't stand in the way. He said, I take a vow that I'll never marry. I remain celibate my whole life. The demigods were shocked. They showered flowers down from heaven. Can you imagine the rainfall? It's raining. Mommy, it's raining. What? Flowers. And they call that Bhishma, Bhishma, Bhishma. It means one who's taken a terrible vow. The demigods were shocked that anyone could remain celibate in this world. Krishna says, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna, Samudbhava, Mahashano Mahapapyam, Vidyanam ya varinam. It is lust only, Arjuna. Born of the contact with the modes of material passion and later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy in this world. And the karmis, they admit it. They say love makes the world go round. What they really mean is lust. Because Prabhupada said one time, lust means for me, and love means for Krishna. So everyone's concerned about themselves, hardly anyone's concerned with Krishna. So it's not love that makes the world run, it's lust. So to renounce that, Bhishma! This is terrible. But our vows are no less terrible. We're also saying, and adding more to it, Rumaj, no illicit sex, and, I forgot, no meat eating, no intoxication. No gambling. Yes, we have three more. Bhishma, Bhishma, Bhishma. We've also promised to remain celibate. Either as brahmacharis or sannyas, or regulated householders. That's also a form of celibacy. Krishna says, Kamashne, I am sex, which is not contrary to religious principles. So, having children for the purpose of Krishna consciousness is also a type of celibacy. So we've also taken an ugra vow. Like Ugra Prabhupada, he says ugra karma. He calls this whole civilization, he calls Laguna Beach ugra karma. This society just based on hard work for some small amount of sense gratification. And we have our ugra nasringa. He's one of the favorite deities in International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It means the terrible Lord. But we don't think of him as terrible in the ordinary sense. We actually think he's very beautiful. He's sitting there ripping out the, you know, the intestines of Hiranyakashipu, and they're wrapped around his neck, and his mane is spattered with drops of blood, and oh, he's so beautiful. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, because how do we see it? We see it that he's, it's not a symbolic thing, he actually did that, but what happened when he did it? Such a great asura as the world has never seen became liberated. He didn't just take out his intestines. By the touch of his transcendental nails, he removed the lust, the anger, the greed from the heart of Hiranyakashipu. And the definition of moksha is when you're freed from material desires. He didn't become a devotee, but geez, like, you know, he's like 50% there. I mean, sometimes those Brahmavadis, because they're so pure, free from material desire, they just come in contact with the incense offered to the feet of the Lord, or the tulsi leaf that's been offered, and that's the catalyst for becoming Krishna conscious. We distribute tons of prasadam at the University of Florida in Gainesville, and how many devotees do we make? Because they have, the hearts are still impure, so there's some effect, but if the desires are removed from the heart, then you get a little tulsi leaf or what's that? Hare Krishna, like the four Kumaras. They were Brahmavadis, realized monas. They weren't devotees, but the seed was planted in a pure heart. They weren't Mayavadis. Mayavadi means one who criticizes the Lord. To be Brahman realized is bona fide. It's a feature of God. There's three aspects of the absolute truth. It's a bone. It just took a little tuck. So, Om, Am, Hrim, Shrom, Om, Pat, Om, Tataka, Hatika, Keshan, Tilak, Parika, Lochana, Vidhanaka, Naka, Sparsha, Diva, Singha, Namoshtate. Oh my Lord, O Transcendental Lion! After my obeisances to you, along with Mother Lakshmi, sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot, your mane hairs glow with a wonderful brilliance. Your glance and the touch of your nails are both the source of auspiciousness. So Prahlad, he chose the transcendental hand of the Lord on his head. And by default, Hiranyakashipu, he didn't choose it, but by default, he got the nails, but look what he got. So beautiful. Hari means he who takes away all inauspiciousness. That's beautiful. When all the dirt is cleaned, the house looks beautiful. When the heart is cleansed of material desires, in a sense it's beauty, but real beauty, of course, is Krishna consciousness, but it's a good step in the right direction. So we don't think of him as terrible in the ordinary sense. We actually think he's very beautiful. So neither does a devotee think of his vows as something ugra, terrible. The demigod said, terrible vow, but a genuine sadhaka, he thinks, oh, no, these vows are liberating. Raga, dvesha, vimuktashtu, vishayan, indriyashtaran, atma, vashyar, videyatma, prasadam, adigachati. But a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses directed to principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. We don't think these vows are liberating. We embrace them. Yes. With enthusiasm. Guru Maharaj. No more of this. No more than this. Not terrible, but liberating. So how is it that the demigods who are devotees, they're bhaktas. They're great devotees. Otherwise, how are they holding these responsible positions of controlling all this phantasmagoria? You know, the Lord doesn't give that responsibility to the Nanda. It's a very serious operation. Keep it all going. The whole purpose of the material world ultimately is people become frustrated so that eventually they surrender to Krishna. It's the, you know, it's like taking the stairs instead of the elevator, but that is the purpose. But to keep it all going so that eventually the soul comes to the point of surrender, He puts his devotees in charge, but they thought, oh, this is terrible. Listen, he's taken a vow, he's going to be, this seems contradictory. But they were Prakriti Bhaktas. They were devotees, but they're mixed devotees. They have some material desires and they have some spiritual desires to greater or lesser degree. When I don't know. So the thought of, you know, completely losing any and all opportunity for sense gratification, this was terrible for them. But not for a devotee. When someone cursed Lord Chaitanya, some envious rascal, I curse you, took his thread, touched the water, I curse you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll never be happy in material life. Oh, Garanga Mahaprabhu started dancing, so thank you very much. Because this Janma Shraya Shatru Shribir, this good birth and money and fame, and this can, doesn't have to be, but it can be an obstacle, and it's sometimes an obstacle for a neophyte devotee. But actually, losing all that's not so bad. Don't worry. The karmis say, trust no future, however bright. That's not true in Krishna consciousness. You trust Krishna consciousness. The future is very bright. That's Prabhupada's promise. One time Malati said, Sri Prabhupada, is it really true that in the spiritual world, God's a cowherd boy and he's blue and he plays a flute and he has a peacock feather and dances with gopis and there's Saravi cow, the limited man? Prabhupada became very serious. He said, do you think that I would cheat you? So all this is awaiting us, and knowing that, one should have no hesitancy to take up these vows, just like Raghunath Das Goswami. Nothing is to be lost, everything is to be gained. And that is demonstrated in the life of Raghunath Das Goswami and all the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They say that, in the karmis say, example is higher than precept. Well, both are important. Precept is important and example. Like one time I asked Goswami Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I had two choices. I couldn't figure out which one to do. So he said, why one or the other? Why not both? And then I did that and it worked. It was brilliant. So we have the example of devotees like Raghunath Das Goswami. They renounced material life and they fully embraced devotional service to the Lord. And what happened? Bhutva dhina ganeshako krunaya kupina kantashti. Gopi bhava rasamrita lahari kolaya magnam bhuva. In order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants, but they're always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. So we can do it. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami has done it, we can also do it. And you don't have to wait till you become a fully surrendered soul. From the very beginning, mercy is available. From day one. Sarvadharmam pradichaja mamikam saranam raja hamtam sapapapevyo moksasi masuchaha. Krishna says, he's not speaking to the pure devotees. He's saying, just abandon all types of irreligiosity, adharma. He's speaking to the non-devotees. And what do you get for that first cautious step in Krishna? I will protect you from all sinful reaction. This is the beauty of devotional service. You don't have to wait like a yogi or a jnani, thousands of lives to get something little. You just initiate the process. Initiation means the beginning. You initiate it, and what do you get? You get protection. Like you raise the flag, you're fighting a war, and you raise the white flag. What do you get? By the Geneva Convention, in the rules of war, you get full protection. You get, you know, you don't have to fight anymore. You're a prisoner of war, but you get food, you get shelter. Let the other guys fight it out. Just you wait to see who wins. You get protection. And that's the impetus to keep going. Vishaya vinivartante, Krishna says. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing higher taste, he's fixed in consciousness. That's the little we say in Russian, chu-chu. But we don't want to be satisfied with the chu-chu, that little first taste. That is meant to be an impetus to go on further. Like we have appetizer. We don't have. But when I remember my parents used to hold parties, I won't go into detail. But I remember I was the boy who, you know, I could come to the beginning of the party, then I had to go to bed before it became all degraded. But I would bring in the nuts, the little cashews and the peanuts and like that. And everyone was sitting and they were eating the nuts. And what the idea being that by eating the hors d'oeuvre, you, the saliva and the digestive juice, and you get hungry. So from the very beginning, we get some impetus to advance in Krishna consciousness. We get some taste. Padam drishne vartante. From the very beginning. It gives us an impetus to keep going. But, if you want, and we should want, the deep love, which is manifested by Raghunath Das Goswami, that you have to fully renounce this world. Of course, it takes time. Therefore, Shastra recommends, for most people, gradual renunciation. In moderation. I was discussing with Maharaj, we call that the moderate, the Buddhists call it the middle path. As Maharaj, part of the theme of this lecture was the middle path, really. This is the sensible way for people in the state, brahmachari, grihastra, vanaprastha, and sannyasi. Sometimes, like, someone will say, well, Maharaj, you've been a sannyasi so many years, how did you do it? I said, I was a good grihastra. I was a grihastra 11 years. I don't regret it. It's ashram. Ashram means the place of the spiritual master. You live with your wife, you live with your children in a Krishna conscious atmosphere. And gradual purification takes place. And as Maharaj said, at some point, you have to renounce. Either you renounce it all by death, or you willingly renounce it by sannyas. And the more noble way is to willingly. You get more credit if you do it willingly. But it takes time. That someone could do it so early in life, like Raghunath Das Goswami, he deserves our greatest admiration. He did it in his youth. That's the hard. It's easy when you get old, because the fangs are removed. Who even looks at you anymore? You look in the mirror and that beautiful face is all wrinkled and sagging and, oh God. I mean, one of my friends said, when I brush my teeth, I don't even open my eyes and look in the mirror anymore. Chanakya Pandit, he paraphrases, he says, one man says, or one person says, my dear woman, why is your face and eyes cast downward? She replies, you fool, don't you see that the pearl of my youth has slipped away? So it's pretty easy to renounce when you're old. Like Lokanath Goswami, he wrote it, for me it's a very wonderful Vyasa Puja offering. He said, Prabhupada, I'm glad I'm getting old. Because these senses are just, you know, they're no longer strong. The strength of the senses is depleted. You know, what's the use? And if I try to engage in sense gratification as an old man, he said, it just looks ridiculous. You see these old people. I was in the store the other day waiting in line, and there was this couple in my age. And they're in front of me, and they, you know, they were hugging and kissing in the line. I was disgusted. I actually left the store. What is this? This is the business of, you know, around 18 or 19, but in a proper way. I'm like, you know, that's there in life, but it's there for a brief moment, and then. So by old age, you should have worked it all out. You should have come to the conclusion, I can't enjoy it. Like when Prabhupada gave the danda to Satsarupa Maharaj. He gave him a danda and he gave him instruction. He said, never look back and think that you've left anything valuable behind. And as you go forward, Never envy the position of the materialistic householders. Prabhupada, I've been everywhere and I've seen everything. Would you like my recommendation? The devotee said, yes. The Prabhupada said, take sannyas. So that will come. And the path of moderation is to gradually achieve that. And for the woman, that means going back into the greater, because in Vedic culture, there was an extended family. So the lady wasn't just like cast adrift in the ocean of the material world. No, her position was she came back and she lived with the extended family. She was like guru in her own right, teaching all the practical way of life. And because her husband had trained her, she was so spiritually advanced. The ladies in particular would come and ask her questions how to make spiritual advancement. So she had a very important role to play. Grandmother, like that. She was like this, the spiritual guide. So we should aspire for that. We shouldn't be afraid of that. To cut the attachments. No. If you cut the attachments in your Krishna consciousness, it's not painful. You're cutting, but it's not painful. How can you cut something it's not painful? Well, your fingernails. They're living. Otherwise, how are they growing? Dead things don't grow. They're living, but when you cut them, there's no pain, there's relief. At least for Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas all have short fingernails. Because they're doing puja, and they're chanting on beads, and they're cooking. So even Matajis, yes, they have short fingernails. Not in these beauty sessions and these artificial nails, you know, like... No, we don't have that. Not Brahmanas. Not Brahmanis. I won't ask the ladies to raise their hands. So here we have a man in the prime of youth. Youth means the senses are very strong. That is nature's way to keep the species going. One time Prabhupada was giving a very strong lecture about sex desire. He said, but Prabhupada, if there's no more sex, there'll be no more human beings. Prabhupada said, yes, that is the purpose. That is the goal. But Raghunath Das Goswami, as Tukaram set the theme tonight. Very intelligent. He set the theme. He said he was saying like Maharaj, Giridhar Swami. He was born in a very noble family. His father was a judge. But he was able to walk away from it just like a man who evacuates in the field. And it's just disgusting. He walks away. Maharaj considered the sense gratification. Why? Because he had the association with a pure devotee. You know the story. Maharaj's father offered him a check of $1 million to leave the movement. He pushed the check back across the table. I'll take the service of my Guru Maharaj. You can understand. Only devotee can understand. Just like only you, if you've eaten a full meal, no one can understand but you. So if you've tasted this Harinam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama. You can walk away from this world very easily, or even better yet, in modern days, you can live in it, like Pundarik Vidyanidhi or Ramananda, but you can live in it and not be attached and use all that for spreading Krishna consciousness. That's called Yukta Vairagya. Either or. Maharaj said either or. Either or, both are admirable. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he walked away. They have a saying, because when I was distributing books, I always used to hear it in the parking lots, you know. I want it all! And I want it now! God. To put earplugs in. Talk to the people. They say, what are you saying? I couldn't hear what they were saying. They didn't want to hear the song, the epitome of material life. I want it all! And I want it now! Then I saw the members, it was KISS or some band, I saw them on a CD cover. Oh my God, they've got Yamadutas. But devotee, like Raghunath, what is he thinking? I want nothing to do with it, now and forever. That's our song. We don't sing it to those passionate melodies. We have, you know, I want nothing to do with it now. Hare Krishna. So this is Radha. Therefore, he has our admiration. What takes us a lifetime, or may take us many lifetimes, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatmasa, he did in one moment, and we bow down to him. Of course, as Maharaj pointed out, this is not possible alone. This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. This is only possible by kripa, by mercy. In Raghunath Das Goswami's case, it was only possible by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. But it also required the personal initiative of Raghunath Das Goswami. And so our initiative is also required. Of course, who amongst us can imitate Raghunath Das Goswami? What were these lines of determination that were fixed in the stone? Shadhe Shita Pahara Yaya Kirtana Shmane. Hara Nidra Chari Dhanda Seha Nahi Koni Dhine. Raghunath Das Goswami spent more than 22 hours out of every 24 chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. He ate and slept less than an hour and a half, and on some days that was also impossible. And what did he eat? A palm full of buttermilk. And in the midst of all that, he was offering obeisances to 10,000 Vaishnavas a day when he was staying at Sri Radhakund. And besides that, out of his infinite mercy, he was lecturing for 3 hours a day on the banks of Radhakund about the glories of the Lord. And that was not easy for him. Not that he didn't know, but because that was his ishtadhei, prandanahei, the Lord of his life, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It was difficult for him not to manifest ecstatic symptoms as soon as the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on his tongue. We hear that's why Shukdeva Goswami, whose ishtadhei is Srimati Radharani, he didn't mention Radharani's name very much in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Her name's mentioned indirectly. Why? Because had he mentioned her name but gone deeply into her leelas, he would have just become overwhelmed with ecstatic symptoms and he would not have been able to complete the Srimad Bhagavatam. But Raghunath Das Goswami, and from those lectures, he kept notes actually on the pastimes of Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri. From those lectures, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who was sitting as a Shiksha student, he compiled the epic Chaitanya Charitamrita. So how was he able to do all that? Because he had such extraordinary and divine love for the divine couple. He could do that. But we don't have that deep love, so therefore sometimes neophyte devotees experience difficulty in following the regulative principles. I think history has shown that out of 5,000 disciples, Prabhupada had about 5,000 disciples, how many are active? 1,000, I think, would be... maybe, I think less. Maybe 500, 400. Of course, that's not to say that Prabhupada doesn't love all of his disciples, but my point is, many are called, but few are chosen. At least in this life. One who cannot fully surrender, nothing's lost. Next lifetime, he begins where he left off. But wouldn't it be better to finish in this lifetime? Wouldn't it be better that our modus operandi is like Raghunath Das Goswami according to the type of enunciation we've been given according to time, place, and circumstance? One time a devotee said, Prabhupada, I want to come back life after life and distribute your books. And Prabhupada said, what? He said, the sentiment is very nice. He said, but this material world is a nasty place. And it's going to get worse. Kali Yuga is going to get worse. He said, you try to finish up in this lifetime. So we cannot imitate Raghunath Das Goswami, that we can follow in his footsteps by imbibing the mood of renunciation. This theme of renunciation is very much prominent in Mahaprabhu's movement. Vairagya Vidyanija Bhakti Yoga. He came to introduce the principle of renunciation because sense gratification and devotional service, they don't go well together. Ras Bas in it, sort of terminology. So, the duty of the acharya, an acharya is different than a spiritual master. An acharya is the spiritual master of many spiritual masters. Like we have Prabhupada, at whose feet all the masters sit. He set the standard for this age. What is it? Again, when we come before Guru, Guru Maharaj, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling, 16 rounds a day. This is the standard for this age. It's actually the standard for the rest of Kali Yuga. Even in Prabhupada's youth, in the Gaudiya Math, because he was relatively young, he was in his 20s and 30s and 40s, and then in his 50s he took sannyasa. So, you know, old age begins at 50, everything else is youth, sort of. Younger youth, older youth. In Prabhupada's youth, the standard in Gaudiya Math was a little different than we have now. I was told that there were three standards in Gaudiya Math. Those who were full-time preachers, they were allowed just to chant four rounds because they were very busy preaching. Those who were grihastras, they were obliged to chant 16 rounds a day. And those who didn't have any other service, they had to chant 64 rounds a day. In other words, their chanting was their service. So Prabhupada was a householder. And he chanted 16 rounds a day. Now Maharaj has told me, are we still looking for the source, or we have the source in that? Prabhupada told Shruti Kirti, who told all of us, that Prabhupada said he would chant four rounds before breakfast, four rounds before lunch, four rounds before dinner, and four rounds before he took rest. So this is 16. And like Raghunath Das Goswami, Prashanera Reka, he was fixed like lines in a stone in practicing that Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisanath Saraswati said, he hears well, therefore I will accept him. And Prabhupada said, if you hear well, you'll speak well. As I'm hoping one day, by having all these classes of Giriraj Swami, that I'll be able to say something. Sri Prahlad Prabhu, my friend, he recently told me that he spoke with the granddaughter of Srila Prabhupada, who unfortunately passed away last year in a tragic accident, a drowning accident in America, in India. But she told him that she was a young girl married in ISKCON, initiated devotee, initiated disciple of Jayakataka Maharaj, the granddaughter of Srila Prabhupada, that when her father told her, because her father means Prabhupada's son, her father told her that when he was young living with his father, Srila Prabhupada, they had a morning program every day, full morning program. They had Mangal Arati, they had Tulsi Puja, they had Japa, they had Bhagavatam class, and then they made the offering to the deities and they took prasad, the whole family together. Instructive. A family that prays together stays together. Or as Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj elaborated, a family that dances together advances together. But our standard is a little different. We don't have the 4-16-64. We don't want to speculate on that. Whatever Srila Prabhupada said, for us, that's the lines in the stone. And he said, every member of Krishna consciousness, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a householder, or whether you don't have anything to do. I can't imagine who doesn't have anything to do in this world. It's such a busy world, and Krishna consciousness is even busier. But still, you have to chant 16 rounds, and you have to follow the four regular principles. And as Maharaj said, you have to serve the holy name. Everything revolves around the holy name. You're either chanting it, or you're distributing it according to your capacity. I mean, some of us actually do it in literal form. Others raise children. my God, if they don't raise the children, and we all pass away, who's going to take the baton and keep running? We better hope. The brahmacharis shouldn't criticize the grihasthas. You better hope that if you don't make it, there's some serious grihasthas where you can take birth in that family and continue to make progress in Krishna consciousness. Grihe tako bhani tako. Narottam says, whether you're a grihastha or you're a tyagi, if in your heart you have a desire to serve Mahaprabhu, I take the dust of your feet on my head. Tukaram Prabhu is very busy, grihastha. Look at the children. They don't know anything for Krishna consciousness. The little turbans and the flutes and the vrindangas and the this and the that. And somebody was telling me some children from Boise, Idaho, those boys who went on to be, you know, like prodigies in school. They knew everything about the planetary systems according to the Vedas and all that. When they asked them the seven continents, they didn't know what the seven continents were. They almost failed to get entrance into the university. But the parents had to explain, well, they don't know the seven continents, but they know that, you know, the 14 worlds. This is grihastha life. This is the great contribution that they're making. So, but it's all service to the Sankirtan movement. So by being strict and by preaching, sharing your great fortune, you can get the full mercy of the Lord. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami. He renounced and he embraced the service of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and he got the full mercy. Those two things are required. Like a train runs on two. We're on the, what train are we on? Woo-woo! Hare Krishna! We're on the Vaikuntha Express. But a train runs on two tracks. If it gets on one track, it derails. So what are the two tracks? Sadhana and preaching. You have to do both. If you just do sadhana and you don't preach, and if you preach but you don't do sadhana, you get derailed very quickly. Both are required. The balance. Life's all about the yin and the yang. Finding the balance. And if you do that, we don't have to necessarily follow Raghunatha Das Goswami, everything he did, but in principle we should follow. And that is given to us by our spiritual master. Mercy means that we may not be so expert at many things, but if we're faithful to our spiritual master, everything will be revealed. Once, Prabhupada asked Guru Kripa, Prabhu, Guru Kripa, and you know Guru Kripa was always quoting the shlokas. Once I stole his shloka book in 1974. He came through Paris, and I was so impressed with his lecture. I want to be like him. So I stole his verse book, and I went down. In those days, we just had photocopy. I came back 3 hours later, and I said, I'm returning. He said, you rah, rah. He gave me a real chewing out, but I had it. Lots of shlokas, but I couldn't memorize them. But because he was good at the shlokas, Prabhupada said, Guru Kripa, at that time he was Maharaj, what is the most important shloka in the Shastras? So Guru Kripa said, I know, Prabhupada. Harinama, Harinam, Harinama, Eva Kevalam, Kolo, Nasteva, 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 Gatyanya. Prabhupada said, no. Prabhupada said, Yasha Devi Para Bhaktir Yata Devi Tata Guru Tashvati Kaita Yata Bhakashanti Mahatmana. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Shweta Shutara Upanishad 6:23. So we should have faith that if we follow these lines of stone as they've been given to all of us in Krishna consciousness, by Srila Prabhupada, in the mood of Raghunath Das Goswami, and we follow them strictly. Maharaj said in the class, he quoted, if you just follow these regular principles and you chant Hare Krishna, which implies also giving the mercy of the holy name to others, you can go back to Godhead. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur said in a famous lecture in the 1930s at initiation, he said, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to Godhead in one lifetime. But the onus is on us. So if we have that faith that if we can just do that, and that, of course, that's a lot for us, It may not have been a lot 30 years ago, but it's a lot for us. But if we can do that, if we serve the order of our Guru, everything will be revealed. Param gopyam apishnikne. Shishe bhacham iti shruti. Tachcharyatam mahabhaga gholoka mahimadana. The Vedas say that to a loyal disciple, one may speak the confidential secret. Therefore, O most fortunate one, now please hear the glories of Goloka. You could say that Prabhupada made it easy for us, but not cheap. He made it easy, but he didn't make it cheap. We just have to follow the process as he gave us. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami followed what his guru, who really was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gave him. Then we'll be successful without a doubt. And what kind of following? Niyama yena pashyamereka. Strict, like lines etched in a stone. Shri Raghunath Das Goswami ki. Shri Prabhupada ki. Honey Hati Festival ki. Go Pemanande!